So the issue that has gripped my heart is, I think, the oft misunderstood concept of our love of God and God's love back to us and the power of that and how that is life-changing, family-changing, and ultimately then world-changing. And a couple of Sundays ago, after the message, I was contacted by somebody who, Sarah, who heard the message, and I think Sarah also, from our conversation, has been captured by this concept. And I'm hopeful, I'm in high hopes that this will capture you. The Holy Spirit will drop this into your heart. So I asked Sarah if she would share a little bit with us this morning about what this has meant to her and about love and God's love. And so Sarah's going to come at this time and share with us.
Good morning. Love is not only something God does. Love is something God is. God would have to stop being to stop loving. Our temptation is to humanize God because we are limited to love as a verb. With God, love is first a noun. It's what and who he is. That's what I shared with Tim after his sermon a couple weeks ago, and it was part of our Bible study, which, spoiler alert, I worked ahead a little bit, but it tied in so well. I was excited to share that and wanted to share that with you guys also. I couldn't really wrap my mind around all of that, and love being a noun with God and just has been kind of an exciting challenge as he asked me to share, and I don't usually do that, so here I am. But I've been looking more into it and doing more of the study, and it's really good homework to study God's love. I've seen more glimpses of his grace and mercy, and surprisingly, I've been really humbled the last couple weeks in studying this. There are a few other things in the study I wanted to share, and this portion of the study focuses, it's Beth Moore's study that we're doing. She just emphasizes the importance of us believing God's love, and that for us to share God's love with others, first we have to believe and accept it fully. She elaborates the ways in which God loves us. He tells us, he demonstrates his love to us, he thinks about us, he testifies to others about us, and she goes on and on. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. She poses the question, what more could he possibly have done to prove his love to us? And yet he continues to show us more love each day. I'd like you to picture the difference between two children and how they act. One who knows and believes they are loved, and one who does not. God cannot see you through anything less than a loving father's eyes. I could go on and on, but I'll end with Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, be imitators of God, as dearly loved children, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah's demonstrated what I pray for and what a pastor is burdened with is the words coming from my mouth, I trust directed by the Holy Spirit, are they clicking and resonating and are they making a difference and is it grasping you? And so Sarah has just shown that yes, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the power of this concept is just so powerful that if we could allow this to drop into our hearts and if we could grasp fully what it means for us and what it means, listen, this is going to change your life today. This is going to change your homes. This is going to change then how you react to other people. And I was listening to Matt Mara this week, a Christian artist, and on one of his CDs, it's the quote inside the devotional today. He says that, "I flirt with the world, and it steals my love for you." And isn't that just so true? That when we flirt with the world, it does steal our love for God. And also, as Sarah pointed out, it blocks us from understanding how much God loves us. That God is not angry at us. God is on our side, ever and always. God wants the best for us. And the enemy tries to get us to, like Sarah said, look at a child that isn't loved, knows they're loved, and a child that doesn't think they're loved. And the difference in what happens to those children. We are God's children. And as his children, he loves us with a love that we can't even begin to fathom. And as a result of that coming at us, we love him back. And I want to start out with the 1 John verse on the back of your devotional. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, as we slowly pick our way through this concept. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. "Dear friends," John says, "let us love one another." Why, John? "Because love is from God." What? "Because the love you have for others," watch this, "the love you have for others is in reality from your loving relationship with God." And John says, it just makes sense. You will love others, and you'll do it because love is from God. And you love God. "And everyone," John goes on, "and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Why? Why is everyone who loves, what does that show that they've been born of God? Because God is love. And if you've been born of God, you have inherited that characteristic. You see that? John says, you know you've been born of God. You know you have his characteristics. You know you have his spiritual genes because you are of his seed. You are from him. And he is all about love. And the way that you know that you're from God, the way that you know you've been born of God, you want to know that you're a Christian today? You want to know without certainty? John says, here's how you know. You love others. It spills out of you. It shows that you've been born of God. It shows that you have inherited something from God. You inherit the love of your parents, don't you? You inherit their likes and dislikes. John says, this is what happens with us. And that is why you should love others. That's why you should unleash that love, because you have that family characteristic. Verse 8, "The one who does not love does not know God." Why? Because God is love. God is love. Knowing God produces love in you for other people. Last week I talked about the loving hierarchy, the love hierarchy. In other words, love in and of itself can be wrong. Yeah. Jesus said love of money, wrong. Paul said love of self, wrong. So love can have a dark side. But there's a sequential way to love. The sequential way to love is this, and John points it out here. John says, if you love God, you'll love others. It will be a natural corollary. It will be a natural side effect. Your love of God produces love of others. Now, why is this true? What is this? Let's get practical. Let's talk about something practical today. And why does God put such a premium on our knowing and loving him? And why does God put such a premium on this system of this hierarchy of love? Love him first, love him supremely, and then everything else will fall into place. You know, I said last week or the week before that the Ten Commandments, the very first commandment is that you shall have no other gods before you, that he is your passion. He is who you love, you adore, and you worship. And then the other nine become superfluous. If you obey the first command, if you love him with all of your heart, the other nine aren't necessary. So the sequential hierarchy of God's love is so that you can manage his garden. We are managers of his garden. And this system, this hierarchical system of love, is so that we manage his garden correctly. Because if you love him, you will love what he made, and supremely humanity. If God is love, we can read Genesis this way. In the beginning, love created. In the beginning, love spoke, and this happened. In the beginning, love created the sun, the moon, the stars, the fish, the animals. And in the beginning, love supremely created humanity. And if that's true, and it is, if love creates, and if love has created the world, and if love has created humanity, then it is love that sustains and maintains his world. It is love that sustains and maintains his world. Adam was given this mandate for a reason. Adam was given the mandate to love, adore, and worship God, and nothing before that, for a reason. And the reason was so that he could manage God's world. He could manage God's garden. God took the man that he had made, and he placed him in the garden. And he told the man, I want you to work it, and I want you to watch over it. And he says to Adam, you know, I know that that is a daunting task. I know that it's difficult. And you have to be equipped and armed to do this. So I am giving you this managerial system. I'm giving you the hierarchy of love, Adam. And if you follow this hierarchy of love, you will find your task to be completed and to be completed perfectly. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You all have been given a very difficult task. And I find myself many times struggling mightily with this task. And that task is to manage my part of the garden. You all have a part of God's garden still today. And Adam did this job of managing God's garden, and he did it perfectly because and as long as he maintained this hierarchical management system. The management system of loving God supremely and then finding that Adam loved everything that God made supremely. It fell into place, and Adam did not find it a struggle to work the garden and watch over it. He did it because he loved God. And the love of God sprung and leaked into his love of what God made supremely, humanity. How is it maintained and sustained? And how's your love of God maintained and sustained? Adam had regular and rhythmic meetings with God. Maybe write that down. Regular and rhythmic meetings with God is the only way that Adam was able to stay plugged into the hierarchical system of God's love, the hierarchical system of his management. I love that portion in Genesis. And Teresa and I read that often and quote it often to each other, where in chapter 3, Adam's doing great in chapters 1 and 2. It's working perfectly. He's naming the animals. God's world is clicking. He's managing the garden. And chapter 3 comes along, and Adam has already fallen. Adam has already allowed the enemy to get into this love of God. Adam has allowed the enemy to break up the regular rhythmic meeting with God. Regular rhythmic meeting with God. Because in chapter 3, we read that God comes walking in the garden, as was his habit, in the cool of the day, in the evening breeze. And what is he doing? He's looking for Adam. He's expecting a meeting with Adam. And Adam, what does he do? He hides. He hides because he has already allowed the enemy to get in there. And the very thing that Adam should have done. He should have been there. Adam should have been there to meet God. How would life turn out differently if when that happens to us, and it does, and when the regular rhythmic meeting with God breaks down, when our love of God is subverted by the enemy, the antidote, what Adam could have done, is been there and met with God. And God comes looking for him. And God says, where are you? Because this is the time that we meet, Adam. How are you doing managing your portion of your garden? Because as God's people, the mandate given to Adam is the mandate handed down to us. We've been given a portion of God's garden. Your immediate environment, your family, your wife, your husband, your children, you've been given a portion of God's garden that you are to manage. You're to work it and you're to watch over it. And I know there are issues in our church. I know there are issues in relationships. And I also know that the way those issues arrive and arise in my life and your life is because the enemy breaks down this managerial system. Honor, love, adore, and worship God. And everything else will follow. And so you and I have been given the same mandate. Keith, Ben, Peggy, I'm going to place you in the garden. And this is the part of the garden I want you to manage. And your job in this garden is to work it and watch over it. Your job is to sustain that part. And you will do it perfectly as much as perfection is allowed this side of glory. You will do it perfectly because and as long as you maintain and stay with the hierarchy of love. Love, adore, and worship God supremely and foremost, and you will find so powerful. You will find your day-to-day managerial skills of just the stuff of life being done and being done perfectly. Because love of God spills out of you into love of your portion that you've been given to manage. How do you maintain that? How do you maintain an unflagging, undaunted love of God? Do you struggle with that? Do you struggle with loving God? How do you maintain it? Is there a secret? Is there some key? Regular and rhythmic meeting with God. And I want you to look with me at Mark 1:35 here. I want you to understand the key that we have to staying plugged into this managerial system, this love hierarchy. You know what a hierarchy is? You know what a hierarchy is? A hierarchy is things in proper order. Like at the top of the stairs is the top of the hierarchy, and the bottom of the stairs is the bottom of the hierarchy. So if you maintain the top, everything else below it falls into place. So the top of the hierarchy, the managerial system, is the first commandment. The top of the stairs is love and adore and worship God. God said that to Adam. Love, adore, and worship me. It's the hierarchy. It's the very first thing you do. And he said, Adam, it's the only thing you do. Do this and everything will work out for you. So how does that maintain for us today? And how are we doing with this? I looked at our Lord's life. I looked at Jesus of Nazareth, who had love, adoration, and worship of God without measure. And I also know that that was not axiomatic for him. Does that threaten you? It was not axiomatic for Jesus. He had to sustain it and maintain it. Our Lord had to sustain and maintain the regular rhythmic meeting with God in order for his love, adoration, and worship of him to allow Jesus to manage the garden. Look at Mark 1:35. I love this verse. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he did three things. Listen, brothers and sisters. I've never had the Holy Spirit grab me physically, pick me up physically, and put me in front of my Bible. Never. And neither did Jesus. Jesus did three things to maintain and sustain the hierarchy of love that allowed him to manage God's garden perfectly. What did he do? He got up. Number one, he got up. Number two, he went out. Jesus is doing something. Jesus is embracing what the Spirit wants to do in him. You need to embrace, and I need to embrace what the Spirit wants to do. And the supreme thing the Spirit wants to do in you and I is to give us an unflagging love, adoration, and worship of God. Because he knows that if that happens, you manage God's garden perfectly. And the enemy knows, the enemy also knows, like he learned back in Genesis chapter 3, if he can stop that process instead of cypress and myrtle coming up in your garden, you're going to get thorns and thistles. What's coming up in your garden? Are you cooperating with the Holy Spirit? He got up, he went out, and he made his way. He made his way to a deserted place. Here it's regular, rhythmic, maintaining the love hierarchy with God. How are we doing with that? Are you doing that? Are you getting up? Am I doing that? Am I going out? And am I making my way to a deserted place? Why? To pray. Why? Regular, rhythmic meeting with God. Jesus is doing what Adam should have done. He's knowing and loving God. What happens to you when you go into your deserted place and you pray to God? What happens? You know him and then you love him. This is private. This is something that you do privately. What else do you do? And here's the bee in Tim's bonnet, and I'm going to let it do a little buzzing this morning, if it's all right with you. Let me tell you something. We didn't get up on a Sunday morning ever and decide if we're going to church. Are we going to go today? It's what we did. It wasn't an option. Private maintaining a regular rhythm is very important. But look at the next, look at Luke 22:39. He went out, Jesus again, the active part, he went out, made his way. Hey, you know what I circled in that sentence? What would you think I circled? As usual. As usual. If you're here today, bless your heart. God bless you. God strengthen you. Maybe circle in your own life as usual. And did he do it by himself? This is church attendance. He made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives alone Uh-uh. And his disciples went with him. Corporate. Together. Loving and knowing God. Watch this. Your private time with God is to know and love him. Your corporate time with God here today in this little church on Possumman Road on this Sunday morning, your corporate worship with God is you know him, you love him, and you also receive love from the other God lovers that are here with you today. You don't think your attendance here is important? When you're not here, somebody is deprived of love. Somebody who might need a word from you is going to fall this week. You know, Teresa and I have also often said about Newville. You know, we got a problem here at Newville. Okay, here it is. Elephant in the room. You don't leave at the end of service. You hang out and you talk, and we see that happening. You see, we see you giving love to one another. We see the fellowship that occurs. This is maintaining. This is regular rhythmic worship, regular rhythmic time with God. You receive something from me, and let me tell you, I receive something from you. Private worship and corporate worship. Both ways to maintain and to sustain. Because, now look, I'm thinking of my past week, and I'm wondering if I'm how I manage my portion of God's garden. And I'm also so acutely aware that Satan hates God, and Satan hates humanity, and Satan hates what God made. So doesn't it make sense to you, does it not just make eminent sense to you, that the way the enemy would get back at God, the way he would stick it to him, is to get you and me as God's people to not manage the portion of the garden that you've been given and that I've been given, to let the thorns and the thistles grow up. You will manage, and I will manage today and this week. And Teresa says to me, she says, get up there today and talk about the triumph of love, the triumph that is ours, that when we love God and we stay with this in this hierarchy of love, you will find your love of your family and my patients and your co-workers, you will find that exponentially increasing, because if you love God, as a side effect, you love what he made, and supremely humanity. Let's manage our gardens. Let's manage our gardens, and let's do it perfectly. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Amen.